Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time to join me today. We're continuing on in a message I started on Monday, entitled Our Blood Covenant, and we were looking at six principles of redemption, which were expressed in the scriptures. We see it, the first mention is in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 21, which declares, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them." And while this is just a simple mention of that they were being clothed, of course, that covered their nakedness, but it also spoke prophetically of the blood covenant that was being instituted. In fact, the Lord, just a few verses earlier, declares to Eve that He will put enmity between... Actually, no, He's speaking to the serpent. He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Speaking of the great work of redemption that Jesus did and how the enemy, that serpent, was his head will be fatally bruised and will be overcome by the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ wrought through His redemption at Calvary. So we saw the first three principles of redemption that I shared yesterday was that God requires the shedding of blood and that the sinner must be covered by the blood. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." And then that beautiful illustration, which we see in the life of Abraham as he was about to sacrifice Isaac, that God Himself provides the sacrifice. That's where Abraham, when the Lord stopped him at the last moment from sacrificing Isaac, they saw a ram in the thicket who was caught by its horns, and he named that a place, he named the name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, the fourth principle of redemption that I'd like to share with you is, is that God covers the sinner with blood. We can't even do it ourselves, beloved. We can't clothe ourselves. Romans 8 and 33 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And Isaiah 61 and 10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." And God does that for each one of us by covering us with the precious blood of Jesus, which enables us to be restored to fellowship with Him. Another aspect of the concept of redemption is found in this principle, that the innocent must die for the guilty. Even if Adam and Eve could have physically died, although they did physically die, that would not have been sufficient to satisfy the justice of God. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 6, Paul tells us that Christ died for the ungodly, and He was without stain, without sin. He was perfect in righteousness. And in John, the 14th chapter, verse 30, we see that our adversary, Satan, had no legal claim on Jesus. Jesus Himself said, "The prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me." Throughout the Old Testament, the guilt of the transgressor is passed from himself to the sacrifice, and the innocence or righteousness as with Jesus is transferred by imputation to the transgressor. Let me say that even more simply. If you remember the Old Testament sacrifices, that the person who was coming to offer a blood sacrifice of an innocent animal, he had to lay his hands on the sacrifice. And so by way of transference, by the laying on of hands, if you will, that person's guilt was passed to the sacrifice. And also the innocence of the sacrifice, if you will, because Jesus was innocent, the innocence of the animal was transferred to that he who was sacrificing, and Jesus' innocence, his righteousness, was transferred to us, that we are righteous now before God because of what Jesus did. Jesus foretold his offering of himself in our place. He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And then the final aspect of the principles of redemption I'm sharing with you is the fact that God then brings judgment upon the sacrifice. That sacrifice, in the case of the innocent animal, their throat was cut, the blood was drained. They experienced the judgment of God. They were innocent. That little lamb, that bullock didn't deserve to die. It hadn't done anything, but it was the substitution for the person that was offering that sacrifice to the Lord. And that was absolutely necessary for them to have in fact, the Day of Atonement, it was that God would accept the offering of the high priest for the people of God. That was done once a year. But thank God for what Jesus did, because the veil of the temple was torn, and now we can enter boldly before the throne of grace to find whatever help that we need. Whatever situation we're facing, we can call out to God, and we can enter and have that privilege that only the high priest had once a year. And so God caused judgment to come upon the sacrifice. Isaiah 53, 6 and 10 speaks of what Jesus did. Yet it pleased the Lord, this is our Father, to bruise him, Jesus, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 24, says that Jesus bore our sins in his body, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see that beautiful act of guilt being put on the innocent, and also the innocence and righteousness of the sacrifice was imputed, given to the transgressor. What a beautiful picture that is. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 15, says that the Lord abolished the enmity that existed between man and God in his flesh, and he, Jesus, experienced the terrible wrath of God upon the cross. At death, his suffering was complete, and now we, beloved, we can experience peace and justification with God because of what Jesus did. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by believing and accepting. If we refuse it, we're not justified. But if we will accept, if we will acknowledge that we are a sinner, that's what salvation is. That's what being born again is. We acknowledge that we have failed, that we have sinned, that we have need of God to transform us. Our nature by birth is a carnal, fallen nature, and only through that marvelous work of salvation can our spirit man, that part of us which is eternal, live and be born out of the darkness of death, out of the darkness of the kingdom of this world, into the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is what Jesus has done for us. Now, as if this were not enough, there is yet more I want to share with you. God has established a covenant Isn't that's the, when I started this a few days ago, we looked at Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 10, which declares, "And they," that is the people of God, the saints of God, "overcame him," the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And we've taken this time just to look at the significance of the two things that allow us to be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that is the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, I've been laying a foundation, and this is so beautiful, the very exquisite love and tenderness of God that he expressed through redemption and the six principles. Only God could have come up with this wonderful plan. Amen. But there are yet covenant promises that I want to share with you. By the blood sacrifice of Jesus, there's protection on all levels, physically and spiritually. There's justification and there's sanctification. And there's so, we're going to go into Leviticus. We're going to be looking at the cleansing of the leper, which has some absolutely awesome and powerful truths that are hidden in what appears to be a rather obscure Old Testament, you know, a protocol or ritual that the priest had to go through with this, with the leper. It's absolutely magnificent, and I do encourage you, don't miss these next broadcasts. It's thrilling to understand and read how beautiful God has provided for us, for our eternal destiny, that we can be forever with him. That's how much he loves us. That ought to encourage you. If you're going through trials and battles, it's his love for you. You love him because he first loved you. He reached out to you and claimed you out of the clutches of the evil one and brought you unto himself. Isn't that worth praising him for and thanking him for? Amen. We'll have all eternity, and there won't be time enough to be able to sing his praises and thank him for all that he's done. Amen. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. I do invite you to write. Beloved, I know what it is to hurt and feel isolated and all alone. God wants us to stand with one another. He's given power in the principle of agreement in prayer. I invite you to write. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. Thank you for your prayer support, UCM partners. Thank you for financial gifts. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.